Right, and thank all of you for coming tonight. And, you know, I always have a great admiration for people who come back to worship on Sunday evening. And I know that on Sunday afternoon, people get to taking a nap and get a little bit relaxed and kind of hard to pull themselves out of bed. But anyway, you've done that this afternoon, and you're to be commended for it. And I appreciate very much your being here, because it is indicative of your interest in matters that are spiritual and that you want to learn. You want to better equip yourself for the coming week, and it's going to be a great week. And with the help of God, then we'll face whatever challenges come our way. You know, I remember as a youngster noticing various contests that were happening and promotional offers, and you would find them almost everywhere. And how many of you eat cereal? You don't have to eat Special K, and this is not a commercial for Special K, believe me. I just thought, with all those kids who bring their cereal on the back pew back there, I just thought it would be all right for me to bring mine. No, not really. But I remember, though, as a child, I ate a lot of cereal. And I still do eat a lot of cereal. It's kind of hard to get Audrey out of the bed in the morning. But not really. But anyway, I do eat a lot of cereal. And I noticed then, as I notice even now, that there are all kinds of promotionals on the back. I won't show you the back of this. It's not the best in the world. But anyway, on most cereal boxes, there are promotionals. And you've seen them. You know, send two box tops in, you know, and enter the contest. And I used to do that when I was a child, and I did it quite often. And anyway, I remember getting a letter back in the mail, having done that, that said, well, this is prohibited in your particular area. And I got to looking back on the box, and it said, prohibited, and does not apply, void if prohibited. And this one here says, and there are many of them, you could win a Hawaiian vacation at a Hilton Village. Boy, does that sound appealing to you? A 7-day, 7-night vacation for four at the Hilton Village on Hawaii Island includes round-trip transportation, Special K cereal in the morning, and $1,500 spending money. But like most of them, it's void where prohibited. You know, when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he essentially said the same thing. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, Paul is talking about the Christian life being a race that is to be run. And he goes on to say that if we do not strive lawfully for the prize, and we try to come up some unlawful way, then we will be rejected. Or that our entry would be vain, if you will. You know, there's so much deceit in our world today. I read the other day about a busload of politicians who were driving down a country road. And the bus suddenly ran off the road and crashed into the old farmer's field. The old farmer heard the tragic crash, so he rushed over to investigate. And when he got there, he began digging a large grave to bury all the politicians. A few hours later, the local sheriff was driving past the farmer's field and noticed the bus wreck. He approached the old farmer and asked where all the politicians had gone. And the old farmer explained that he had gone ahead and had buried them all. And the sheriff, somewhat puzzled, looked at him and he says, well, were they all dead? And he said, well, some of them said they weren't, but you know how those politicians lie. Well, you know, there is so much deceit in our world today. There is. And a lot of people lie, a lot of people malign others, a lot of people say things they know that are absolutely false and deceiving, and it is just true. We live in a world today where it's quite common for people to feel that it is acceptable and that it is all right. There was a preacher one day, he was walking down the street when he came up on a group of about a dozen boys, and all of them were between the age of 10 and 12. And the group surrounded a dog and concerned the boys were going to hurt that dog, because we hear a lot about that on television today. He went over and he asked him, he says, "Well, what are you doing with that dog?" And one of the boys replied, "Well, this dog is just an old neighborhood stray. We all want him, but only one of us can take him home. So we've decided that whichever one of us can tell the biggest lie, we get to keep the dog." Well, the preacher was a little taken back by all of that, and so he said, "You boys shouldn't be having a contest telling lies." And then he launched into about a 10-minute dissertation against lying, and beginning with these words, "Don't you boys know that it is a sin to tell a lie?" "Why," he said, "when I was your age, I never told a lie." There was a dead silence for about a minute. And just as the preacher was beginning to think he'd gotten through to all of them, the smallest boy gave a deep sigh and said, "Go ahead and give the preacher the dog." Well, there are times when what we do in terms of religion is void because it is prohibited. Now, that's really what I want to talk to you tonight about. There are some things that are void in the eyes of God, even though people engage in them and even though people practice them. Now, let me give you some suggestions tonight how that works. You know, we all value the importance of prayer. Prayer is such a precious thing. Jesus taught in Luke 18 and verse 1 that man should always pray and faint not. That is, never give up. Paul would write to the church at Thessalonica, and he would offer these words, to pray without ceasing. Jesus would talk about prayer and how superlative it is and was, even in his day, and how the men, even of the Old Testament, the great prophets, would talk about the value of prayer. We remember Daniel and how he prayed in the lion's den. And we remember over and over when the command came from Cyrus not to pray anymore, that he opened his window toward Jerusalem and he began to pray and to pour out his heart unto God. But do you know there are times when our prayers will not get any higher than this ceiling? They will not get beyond the confines of this building. And they will be void. Let me tell you why that is true. Because even to our prayers, sometimes God says they are void where prohibited. Now that might sound a little strange to you, and you may be thinking, what on earth is he talking about? Well, do you know that God actually prohibits prayer if it is not done in the right way? It is vain and it is void. In the book of Psalm 66 and verse 18, David said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." It is void where prohibited. He says, that is, if I don't get rid of the sin that is in my life and ask God to cleanse me, God isn't going to listen to my request. He isn't going to hear me. Now, that's what he's saying. There are some people who believe that they can sin all week and come to church on Sunday morning and get it all right with God by just being in some semblance of a worship service. There are some, as one preacher said, who sow their wild oats all through the week, and then they go to church on Sunday and then they offer that prayer for crop failure. In Jeremiah, the 14th chapter, God even told the prophet, he said, "I say unto you that they should not pray for their sin. They roam about, they disregard my law. Their prayer is not only void, but they contain no benefit for them." So God says, "And it is considered by God an abomination, even in his own sight." In Proverbs 15 and verse 8, Solomon would write these words, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." Listen to that one again. The prayer of the unrighteous, or the prayer of the wicked, is an abomination in the sight of God. The very thing that we do sometimes, thinking, hey, God's going to be pleased with my prayer, but the prayer of the wicked is an abomination in his sight. to Cornelius and his household, Peter would offer these words in the book of Acts chapter 10, that in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness with him is accepted with him. But we read also in John chapter 9, verse 31 and following, that we know that God heareth not the prayers of sinners. Proverbs 28 and verse 9, one who turns away his ear from the hearing of the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination unto God. So not every time we pray is God going to listen. I think we just normally assume sometimes that when we bow our head, whether we're doing it collectively in here or whether we do it at home, that when we petition God, that God ought to be listening. Or that God is listening, and that's not the case at all. There were times when God turned his ear away. Listen to Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 if you don't believe that happens. For the prophet said that the arm of the Lord is not so short that he cannot reach you. He knows where you are. He can reach you. And his ear is not so heavy that he cannot hear you. God can hear you, he says. But your sin and your iniquity has separated you from God. God doesn't listen. And he does not reach out to you when you do not reach up to him. There are all kinds of lies that are being told today. And people freely tell them all the time. Someone wrote not long ago, and I saw this, and it was entitled, The 13 Biggest Lies Ever Told. You know what they are? You may have told one of them. Beginning with number 13, I would tell you that one of them is that the check is in the mail. You ever told that one before? What about this one? You get this one, but I'll pay next time. You ever been out to eat with someone? They do it that way? Adam's real good at that. No. What about this one? Number 11. You look great. One fella said, when you look like a bale of hay just shot out of a cannon. Or what about this one? Of course I love you. Or number 9. It's not the money, it's the principle of the thing. Number 8. We can still be friends. Number 7. Why, she means nothing to me. Number 6. Don't worry. I can go another 20 miles when the gauge is on empty. Or number 5. Don't worry. He's never bitten anybody before. Number 4. I'll call you later. Number 3. I've never done anything like this before. Or number 2, I'm from your government and I am here to help you. And then the last one is just simply, I do. Now, if you didn't get the last one, I'll explain it to you later. When we pray unto God, it's like offering deceitful words if we're not really willing to change our heart and our lives. So Solomon said, it is like shooting a basket in the wrong goal. Or running down the football field to the wrong goalpost. And so not every prayer that you pray is accepted by God. There are some that are void when prohibited, and God prohibits it. God says, don't do it. Not going to get any taller in this building. If you don't offer it in faith. And if you don't get rid of the sin in your life. But then there's a second thing. Did you know that worship in and of itself, when it is done after the traditions of men, are void when God prohibits them? Many people tonight will be worshiping somewhere, many did this morning no doubt, and they worship after the instructions and the traditions of men and not in compliance with the words of God. And it is simply a void, empty worship. Christ even said that in the book of Matthew, the 15th chapter in verse 8. He said, in vain do they worship me. You know what the word vain means in the Greek language? It means empty, worthless, no good. He said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. No good. He said, they praise me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's an empty worship. It's no good. What are some of the common practices that people do in worship today that are vain and empty? Well, one of them, according to Ephesians 5 and verse 19, is the fact the Word says that we're to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart unto the Lord. Sometimes people just very flippantly offer their worship unto God. We sing a cappella. God's more concerned by what comes forth from your body. God created you, that He wants you to praise Him with your lips. That's why the writer said, in the midst of the congregation will I offer up the fruit of my lips unto God. Sometimes when people sing, they never even think about the words. I just ask you, how many of you could even remember the songs that we were singing a moment ago? If I ask you to list them, how many of you could list the songs that we sang here tonight? Anybody? One or two? How many of you could remember one of them? I'm not indicting anybody. I'm just asking you, how important is it to you? Paul says you sing with the spirit and with the understanding also. Colossians chapter 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, he says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart unto the Lord. But when we offer up worship that is not acceptable unto God, and by the way, do you know there were certain laws in the Old Testament that people had to comply with in order for it to be acceptable to God? Remember the story of Nadab and Abihu? They were the sons of the high priest Aaron. And they had a responsibility of offering a fire upon their altar unto God. But you know what they did? They offered up some kind of strange fire before God of their own choosing, and God smote them with fire from heaven. They probably reasoned and fashioned in their mind, hey, this is okay, God ought to be pleased with it. But God says void where prohibited. You know, the same thing is true of the Lord's Supper. When we do not observe the Lord's Supper, discerning the Lord's body, the Bible says that we eat and we drink damnation to our own souls. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, void where prohibited. And when you give, the Bible says when you give unto God, you give proportionate to your income. Many people don't do that. But when you give unto God, give proportionate to your income. You lay by in store on the first day of the week as we observe the Lord's Supper. And not only that, you don't give out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. But you give freely, you give cheerfully unto God. Some people never do. These are acts of worship that we engage in. And we, here again, naturally and normally assume that God is going to be pleased with it. Not so. Worship, there's a third thing. Worship and prayer and even service unto God that is offered by the hypocrite is void where prohibited. You know, God sees through hypocrisy. He does. He does. In the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 13 states, and one translation, and this is the second thing you do. You cover up, he said, the altar of the Lord with your tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore. You cover up your sin with it. And he says, now receive it with goodwill from your hands, yet you say, for what good reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth with whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. You know, even in the New Testament, Peter said something, you know, about the fact that husbands are to love their wives, they are to be very, very careful with them. They're to treat them with love and respect. Listen to it now. That their prayers be not hindered. That their prayers be not hindered. The hypocrites of the Jews, and there were many of them, voided their prayers. How'd they do it? Well, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, Jesus said this, and he addressed the subject of prayer more than once in the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to what he said. He said, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Why? Their prayers are empty. They're void. You shall not be like the hypocrite, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street that they may be seen of men. Their prayers were pretentious. Their service was pretentious. Even when they gave, the Bible says, they sounded the trumpet. They weren't giving to be seen of God, but they were giving to be seen of men. And when they prayed, they were not praying to be heard by God, but they were praying to be heard by men. And Jesus says they have their reward. Void where prohibited. The hypocrisy of many will void everything they do, their service, their work. Now, Christ also addressed that in the book of Matthew chapter 7. Listen to what he says. Many will come, in verse 21, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, taught in your name? And have we not cast out demons in your name? And have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus said, the Lord God will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. It is a foolish thing to be pretentious with God. God sees through you. He sees through me. He sees through all of us. It would be very easy for our worship to be in vain and to be void before our Maker. If we offer up worship that is prohibited by God. You know, God speaks with great specificity in His Word, and every time God speaks and gives commands, He means exactly what He said. Have you ever heard people say, well, I know that's what the Bible says, but I don't really believe that's what it means? My goodness. Or I know that's what God says, but I really don't believe in your interpretation. Well, let the Bible speak for itself. Doesn't have to have an interpreter. If we want to be accepted by God, we must follow His pattern and not our own. I hope that every one of us will be more deeply committed to doing that. I hope this week you'll be more deeply committed to doing that. To have a thus saith the Lord for what we do, what we say, and to be honest and sincere. And if there's sin in our life that we've not repented of, if we want God to hear our prayers, I'm going to tell you something, folks. You got to repent of it. And that means change. Doesn't do any good to ask God. I've told you many, many times before, it doesn't do you any good to walk down to the front of this building to report your sin if you're not ready to repent of your sin. Anybody can report their sin, but there's a difference between reporting and repenting, and God says to change. So tonight, if there's some changes in your life that you feel that need to be made, I hope that you'll do that. If you want God to hear your prayer when you lay your head on the pillow tonight, I'm telling you, folks, it is imperative that you get right with God. God doesn't play games. God doesn't play let's make a deal. He doesn't. He is the deal. And if you believe in him to be the Son of God tonight and you want to become his child, you become his child in his way, honestly confessing Christ as Lord and repenting of your sin and being immersed tonight, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, while we stand and while we sing.